Amen. Let's turn this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles. I want to talk to you this morning on walking in alignment with God. Walking in alignment with God. You know, God is working on us. He's working on His church as a collective group to get us aligned with His Word, to get us aligned with His vision, to get us aligned with His actions, and to get us aligned with His plan so that we might be the most effective that we can be in the world around us, reaching and striving to help others get into the position that they need to be with Jesus Christ. But what a job that is. So many times we find in life that our thoughts are not really the thought of God, or that our words or our vision or our actions or our plans are anything but aligned with God's plan. How many of you know this morning there is a power in alignment? It's kind of like when you're driving your car, if you have a car that gets out of alignment. Have you ever driven a car down the road and it's out of alignment? And it will either drift to the right or drift to the left. It'll drift in the direction that it's not supposed to go. You might even get a little shaking out of it because it's not in alignment and it's trying to operate in an improper function. And so it's very important that we walk in alignment with God. There is power in alignment. The early church began and experienced its greatest outreach when they were in one mind and when they were in one accord. For it said in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 1 that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were gathered together in one place and in one accord. They were in line, or they were aligned with what God wanted in their lives. And so before we read our scripture, I wonder this morning, I want to ask us, what could we do if we could align ourselves with the Word of God and be in one mind, in other words, be in the mind of Christ and be in one accord, in other words, working in harmony with one another within the body of Christ. Let's read Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when we try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Verse 16, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps us to grow the other parts, and so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we search Your scripture today, I pray today, God, that we would understand the power of walking in alignment with your word, with your vision, with your plan, with your thoughts. When we get our total life in alignment with what you have called us to do and what you have called us to be, and when we walk in complete harmony with fellow people in the church of God, Lord, that we can walk in the fullness of who you have called us to do and to be. We thank you for it today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say amen? I want us to look, first of all, at aligning with God's Word. You know, it is a powerful thing to be aligned with the Word of God. The only way that can happen is if we become acquainted with the Word of God. If we don't search and read and go after the Word of God, we're not going to get the Word of God in us. We can come and we can hear messages, and to a degree that will help get the Word of God instilled in us. But it is up to us on our individual times to read the Word of God and to apply the Word of God and to put it into our hearts and to put it into our lives. To know it in a more intimate way than we have ever known it before. To make it our true source of life. David spoke often of hiding the Word of God in our hearts and that it has power over the sin that tries to come into our lives. Psalms 119 in verse 11, it says this. David said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalms 119 in verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law," or "Oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day." In Psalms 1 in verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Psalms 37 verse 31, it says, "The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." In Psalms 40 in verse 8, it says, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Jeremiah the prophet even spoke the word of God as his food. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, he says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." You know something, it is very important that we have the Word of God in our lives. That we read, that we search, and we study the Word of God, and that we apply it to our heart, and we apply it to our life. The book of Hebrews tells us of the power of that Word of God, that it is a weapon, and that not only against the forces of evil, but having the ability to even cut us so that we might see our own problems, and even do the discerning of our thoughts and our intentions. How many times when reading the Bible have you felt like your toes were being stepped on? Or maybe you come to the house of the Lord and your toes get stepped on a little bit. Well, you know something? That is God working on you. That is God's Word going forth and quickening and sharpening and providing what we need for in life. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know, it's also listed as our weapon against the enemy of our soul and is given to us as a part of our protection against evil. But it goes further as an offensive weapon against the spiritual forces that we battle every day in life. The Bible said that we have spiritual forces that come against us. We're not in warfare against hydrogen bullets and warfare and all of those things. We are in battle against rulers of spiritual wickedness. There is a power in spiritual wickedness that harbors around all around us and is always trying to get us to fall into sin and fall into deception. But there is a power in the Word of God that has the power to raise a standard against that. Aligning with the Word is the message that we share. What does that mean? It means that I must align with the Word of God. I must be in line with it. I must come into correct position with it. I must declare my support for it, even if it doesn't agree with me. The next thing I've got to do is I've got to align my thoughts. So I've got to align with the Word of God, and I've got to align my thoughts. You know, thoughts are a powerful thing, because the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever you're thinking on is what you're eventually going to become, or you're eventually going to do. If we could align our thinking with His thinking, there is no limit to what we could accomplish. The problem we experience is that there is a great gap between our natural thinking and God's thoughts. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know something? Sometimes we don't think like God. Sometimes we have bad thoughts. We have evil thoughts. We have corrupt thoughts. We have thoughts that are not coming to us from God. The advantage with aligning ourselves with His thoughts is that when we think like God thinks, we will begin to act like God acts. His ways will become our way. We will have the power to live above the sinful nature of the flesh, not because we do it by our righteousness, but because we have submitted our minds to the Lord, we have submitted our thinking, and we have submitted our actions toward Him. You see, the reason God gives us His Spirit to live within us is to help us to have the ability to think, to be able to act, and to be able to speak better. Because as we submit ourselves to His direction, we can accomplish great things. As I already said, Scripture says that as a man thinketh, so is he. The mind is a valuable thing. The Bible describes our minds by using the figure of a ship looking for a harbor. Though we may be unable to keep the disease-ridden ship from sailing back and forth amongst the ocean, what we can do is we can refuse to allow it harbor in our minds and give it a docking privilege in the harbor of our mind. We have the ability in Christ to fulfill our thought life in what He would have us to think. Alignment is the key. To do this, we must have the mind of Christ. I share it often, but it's very important that you realize and understand the three R's. There are three R's that are very important in your life. The first thing is you've got to recognize where a thought is coming from. Is the thought coming from God, or is it coming from the enemy? Where is it coming from? If it's a thought from God, I want to dwell on that thought. I want to inhabit that thought. I want to grow on that thought. But if it's a thought that is not from God, I've got to recognize that thought immediately, and I've got to reject that thought, because if I don't reject that thought will come to fruition in my life. And then the third thing I've got to do is I've got to replace that thought with the Word of God. when the Bible, or when the enemy comes in to me and he says, you're not healed, you got cancer in your body, I got to raise a standard against it through the word of the God that says, I am healed. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. When the enemy tries to come to you and tries to tell you that you're not delivered, you're not set free, you're still a drug addict, you're still an alcoholic, you've got to raise up a standard against it through the name of Jesus and through the Word of God and compel against it through God's Word and say, I am healed, I am delivered, I am set free through the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know something? Your mind is the most valuable thing that you have in your possession. The way you spend your mind is of utmost importance because you will become whatever you think. Your mind is under siege every second of every day. The enemy is trying to infiltrate your mind. You know why? Because that is the only entrance that he has into your life is through your mind. The way you think, the way you perceive things, the way that your thought patterns are. Your mind is under siege every second of every day. Marcus Aurelius said this. He said, the most important thing in life are the thoughts that you choose to think. Gary Collins said this, it's doubtless, it's true that people become whatever they think most about. You will become on the outside what you believe on the inside. Let me say that again. You will become on the outside what you believe on the inside. J. Oswald Sanders said this, the mind is the battleground on which every moral and spiritual battle is fought. Vance Havner said this, our defeat or victory begins with what we think, and if we guard our thoughts, we shall not have much trouble anywhere else along the line. You must get in alignment with God in your thoughts. You must get in alignment with God in the Word, and you must get in alignment with God through your thoughts. Another way that we must get into alignment with God is with His vision. Our alignment must be with His vision. You see, vision is a powerful thing. And when our vision is in alignment with God's vision, but when our alignment is out of vision with God's vision, we cannot see. Without the ability to see, we are considered blind. Those of you that wear glasses probably know what I'm talking about. Remove your glasses and it's difficult to see. Maybe you're almost blind because everything is out of alignment. Think about the way we see things. It really does affect everything in our lives. When we look at something, we see it from our perspective. God doesn't want us to see it from our perspective. He wants us to see it from His perspective. He wants to be able to see things we look at from a godly perspective. You say, what do you mean? When we look at sin, we are naturally attracted to sin. That draws us to it, and it makes us want to see more. And that's the way sin works. It looks glamorous in the beginning, but after you get in the middle of it and it becomes full-blown, it will destroy your life. When we look at sin, we're attracted to it. When God looks at sin, it's a complete turnoff. He hates sin. Now, I want you to understand this morning, He does not hate the sinner. He loves every person, no matter what they are going through or what they are doing in their lives, but He does not appreciate the sin. So in order for us to align in our vision with God, we must get a vision correction to align ourselves with God's vision. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, God spoke to Habakkuk and He said this, write the vision and make it plain. You see, writing down the vision will help you to remember what God originally said to you. Thank God for His direction and allow the vision to develop through a lifestyle of prayer, through fasting, and through obedience. Most people go through life as a passenger in the vehicle called life. We need to remember that we need to get in the driver's seat with our map of God's vision and drive into the future. Remember this morning, if you're going to go anywhere, you've got to do it with Jesus Christ. George Bernard Shaw said this, some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not. But you know something? Your heavenly vision is going to be tested. Whenever you receive a vision from God, people will try to persuade you that it's not from God. Satan will also try to convince you that God has not spoken to you. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, it says this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was given a dream for his life. These dreams revealed that he was going to be in a place of leadership over many people, including his own family. But his family members rejected him. His brothers rejected him and became so jealous that they plotted to kill him. And eventually, they sold him into slavery. And through Joseph's experiences in the pit, in slavery and in prison and in problems, we see that when God says yes, no one can say no. We learn that although our vision may be treated or tested, it will still be brought to pass. You look at Moses. Moses received a vision from God at the burning bush. However, getting Pharaoh to release the Israelites and then talking to the people of God through the wilderness was not an easy job. He had to pastor this complaining and rebellious and stubborn group of people, and it truly tested Moses' vision. But you know something? God had made a promise, and God promised that they would walk through to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. That was the vision that was given for the people of God. However, for them to possess the land, they still had to go through and fight the inhabitants. Have you ever thought about the milk and the honey? You know something? They may have received the milk and the honey, but they had to first wrestle with the cows and the bees. It wasn't easy in order to get the promise that God had designed for them. And then you look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a godly leader with a vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He received this vision from God during a time of prayer and fasting. He was a man that was able to do the most possible dreams because of his dependency upon God. You see, the book of Nehemiah reveals an accomplished vision that was given through prayer and through fasting and sacrifice and hard work and overcoming the difficulties and the challenges. Opposition reached such a level that those rebuilding the wall worked with one hand and held their weapons with the other hand, every one of them with a sword by their side. They refused to disobey the heavenly vision and the walls of Jerusalem, and they stood upon their testimony. Look at what happened between Paul receiving the heavenly vision and finishing his course. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, in verses 23 through 28, and we're going to read out of the Message version of the Bible. It says, I've worked much harder, I've been jailed more often, I've been beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes, beaten by Romans, rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for night and day. In hard traveling, year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to weather, and that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches, I crawled through a window in the wall, was let down in a basket, and had to run for my life. You know something? Paul had been through challenges in his life. He had gone through persecutions in his life for the name of the Lord. But you know something? He was given a vision from God, and he completed the vision, because when he came to the end of his life, he said, I have finished the course. I have finished the race. I have completed the mission, and I have done what God has called me to do. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this morning that as you walk through life, the greatest thing that can be said about you is that when you come to the end of the life, it's not about what you materialized or how many possessions you have or how many degrees you have hanging on the wall. The greatest thing that can be said about you is that I have finished my course, and I have kept the race, and I have done what God has called me to do, and I have walked in alignment with the Lord. As we return to the music this morning, I'm sorry for the loss of my voice for there just for a few moments, but it's back. We need to see sin for what it really is. Sin is destructive. It is harmful. It will destroy your life. It looks very pretty in the beginning and for a season, but then you're all wrapped up in it, and it has created confusion in your life. When we look at those around us, what do we see? We see souls in need of a Savior. And every person that has walked into this building this morning is in need of a Savior. Maybe you've walked into this place today and your life is not walking in alignment with God. Today is your day to make it right. Today is your day to make it whole. Today is your day of salvation. We need a vision alignment, corrected lenses, so that we might see God as He sees. We must love sinners in whatever condition they are in. Are we drawn by them or are we repulsed by them? God is drawn to their need, and so we as well must be drawn to the need of individuals. Can we stand in this building this morning? In aligning with His ways and His actions, it brings us back to the Word of God, brings us back to the thoughts of God, and it brings us back to the plans of God. Jesus viewed Himself as a servant to others rather than a Lord over them. He came with hope. He came with joy. He came with peace to a world that was troubled and needed God. And we have that same hope today. We have that same joy today. We have that same peace today to offer a troubled and dying world. If we can just bow our heads for a moment. Dear Lord, we just love You in this place today. God, we appreciate You and we recognize today, God, that we fall short every single day of our lives. For God, there's not one of us here today that is perfect and that's just walking in perfect alignment. But today, oh God, I pray over this house. And I pray today, God, that we would come into alignment with Your Word, with Your vision, with Your thoughts, and with Your plan. And may we walk in the fullness of the authority that You have designed us to walk in. May we walk in the fullness of You. And be all that You've called us to be and do all that You've called us to do. And recognize, Lord, today that we are short without that alignment. We love You and thank You and appreciate You.